Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Tiger Rag Radio is on the air.
Let's crank this thing up.
We're statewide, breaking down the latest happenings with LSU athletics.
This is us.
Hear from the coaches.
Here in Tiger Stadium on Saturday night, there is nothing like it.
The players.
Just having fun and we working, baby. That's it, baby.
The recruits.
Show some passion and some heart.
And those who cover the Fighting Tigers of LSU and the SEC.
LSU is the best job in football.
It's 2 hours of nonstop LSU talk.
What a privilege. I mean, you get to represent LSU.
Tiger Rag Radio is brought to you by Cummins. Cummins creates power solutions that the world depends on. Louisiana Beef Industry Council, Boudreaux's Electrical Services, Sunshine Quality Solutions, Super Chevy Dealers, and Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. Get ready to talk Tigers with producer Andre Champagne and our host, Todd Horn, Jeff Palermo, and Glenn Gilbo.
Players that are better people than they are players.
This is Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
And welcome to another edition of Tiger Rag Radio. Jeff Palermo along with Todd Horn and Glenn Gilbo from Tiger Rag Magazine and TigerRag.com. Andre Champagne, our producer once again tonight. And welcome to everyone listening in the Tiger Rag family. Great show lined up for you here tonight. In just a couple of seconds, we're going to hear from Jake Brown, the LSU right fielder, as the Tigers have some inter-squad scrimmages starting up on Wednesday. We're getting closer to opening day. I believe the official countdown is 24 days till we get to that point. We're still in transfer portal mania. Malachi Thomas, who's transferring in from Pitt, tight end, will join us later on in this hour. We'll talk to Grayson Ware from BroBible.com. Grayson knows Lane Kiffin very well, knows what makes him tick, so we look forward to that conversation coming up in the second hour, and then we'll also hear from Reed Darcy from The Advocate as well to talk some Lady Tiger basketball. LSU now 3-2 after a slow start in SEC play. They've won three in a row. They'll be on the road against Texas A&M on Thursday night. Guys, how you doing tonight?
Good. Good. We got two players, man. That's
pretty
a treat
good
for the fans.
Yeah, it is. It is. So let's get to our first player. It's Jake Brown, LSU right fielder, national champion from Sulphur. And I know our affiliates that or our Tiger Rag affiliate that's listening in on Lake Charles, KLCJ 104.1 FM, probably very excited to hear from Jake Brown. Jake, how you doing tonight here? And thanks again for joining us on Tiger Rag Radio.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. I mean, I'm enjoying the off day today before we ramp up tomorrow. So just happy to be on, happy to talk some ball.
Yeah, it's always great to talk baseball with you. You're one of the more insightful guys that we have a pleasure to talk with, especially on this LSU baseball team. And obviously last year, such a great team. That team got together really closely. They became very close as the season went along, connected very well. Give us an idea of, I know it's early, we're still 3 weeks away from the season opener, but what is the chemistry like with this team early on?
Yeah, we have a super close-knit group of guys, and a lot of that's largely by design. After the end of last year, obviously we knew how tight we were. We knew that that definitely played a factor in our success. So we had a lot of talk between like me and Kaysen and Maverick. We all lived together, and one of our like main points of emphasis was we all understood how close last year's team was. We wanted to kind of carry that vibe into this year. So we even put like a more focused effort towards that. And I mean, we have guys getting together every night. Like we were together last night watching the football game. We were playing cards. We're hanging out. We're cooking on weekends. It's like this team is around each other a lot, and that's definitely going to show on the field.
Jake, what do you think is a comparison for this team to last year's team? I know you have a lot of returning starters, like 19 players coming back. But what are the similarities? What are the dissimilarities?
Yeah, I mean, this team, just like last year, is very skilled, very talented, obviously. Like I said, another team of a bunch of good people that are closely bonded together. But one thing that's going to stand out this year, I think, for us is going to be our depth. Kind of like last year where you'll see games where we're rolling out 15 people in a game, and that's just on the position player side. There will be a lot of different guys that are contributing to success this year, and largely a large part of that's due to recruiting. I think Coach Johnson, Coach Jordan, Coach Simpson are the best recruiters in the country, and they know how to get the right guys here, get the right guys on the bus, and really help bring the best out of them. So we have a lot of guys that can make a contribution this year.
Hey, Jake, Todd and I were talking to Coach Johnson about a week ago, and we asked him, because of some of the new players coming in, the transfers like Caraway and Zach, if y'all are going to hit more home runs this year. And he kind of laughed and he said, well, that's what my staff keeps telling me. I'm not sure yet. How do you feel? What do you think? Have you been seeing some – did you see some balls go out of the park during the fall, and you think that's going to go up this year?
Yeah, the ability to crush the long ball is definitely there. I mean, like you said, we brought in guys like Caraway, Zach York, along with returners, myself, Kader and Beattie, and some really talented freshmen. I think guys like Mason Braun, Omar Serna are really going to throw their name into the mix of some real power guys that can make an impact. Like I said, Chris Martin's done a really good job. He's our strength coach of just getting everyone dialed in, making everyone stronger, bigger, faster, stronger. And so we've seen a lot of balls hit in the hundreds in the exavilas just from live at bats, inter squads, all the good stuff. So wouldn't be surprised if we hit a lot of long balls this year.
Yeah, and you had 8 home runs last year, starting about 2/3 of the games. So that's a good total. I'm guessing if you play more, you're thinking you'll be maybe doubling that, getting into the double digits.
Yes, sir. Hopefully, I've put in a lot of work this offseason, so I'm hoping that'll continue to show on as the season gets going.
Jake, defensively, you know, you guys are returning you and Derek and Chris in the outfield. How important is it to have that veteran outfield, and what kind of advantage does it give you in, especially in SEC games?
It's really awesome just because we're so comfortable with each other out there. We've been fortunate enough to play with each other all of last year and now into the fall and spring this year. And so those are two guys that I really enjoy being out there with, two high-level competitors that really know the game. And the more that we're out there with each other, like even if it's just during practice, we're getting closer together, we're playing the field, we're learning each other. And so really excited to go back out there and do it with those guys again.
Guys, Jake has one of the cooler mustaches you're going to see now. And Jake told us last week at the first pitch banquet that I think you stopped trimming the mustache last season. Is that right?
Yeah, I always had like a little bit of facial hair, but we started winning a lot, and I was like, all right, well, I don't know, it's kind of like a thing. I guess I'm not shaving if we're winning, so we kept doing good, and it kept getting longer.
What is this, a superstitious baseball player? How does that work?
I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily call it superstition. I mean, I like it. It's almost a part of me now, so now I'm comfortable with it. I finally got over like the itching. Like it always bothered me at first, but now I'm cool with it.
So you haven't trimmed it for over a year now?
Well, I trim, like I make it somewhat groomed. Like,
oh,
I just,
okay.
Like, go over the lip and get all messy.
Okay, so but you're going to keep it long until Omaha, I guess.
Well, until we start losing, and hopefully that'll be never. So.
Jake, what's the personality of this team? Like, are there any special characters, anybody that surprised you or anybody who stood out? That's new or somebody that's old, returning, developed some new traits?
Yeah, I mean, as far as the guys that came back, everyone's pretty much the same. Like, I don't think anything changed on that front, but we definitely have a bunch of new guys, like the transfers, the freshmen, some interesting characters. Like, you look at Zach York, he's a funny guy. Like, he's a good guy to hang out in the locker room with, and you can joke back and forth with him. Like, we have a lot of guys. Like I said, we're so tight together that we almost know each other almost as close as you can at this point in the season, but we all know each other. Guys are fun to hang around. Like, it's a really good team, a lot of good camaraderie.
Jake, you were obviously not on the 2023 national championship team. You came here in 2024, but you were obviously very close to those guys in the 2023 team. What kind of lessons could be learned from your freshman season, knowing the challenges of trying to repeat? You know, I think there were certain players on that 2024 team that really tried to live up to very high expectations, and when they didn't get to them quickly, their season kind of spiraled out of control, if you would. What kind of lessons do you learn from 2024 that you can use here in 2026 to make sure that you guys can at least get back to Omaha? You know, winning it again is very difficult. But at least get back to Omaha. What are some of those lessons that you're going to, as a leader, try to express to everyone else that is going through this for the first time?
Yeah, obviously the 2024 season isn't exactly how you'd imagine following up a national championship in 23. So a lot of the work with the coaching staff, Coach Johnson's done a lot of good work, and me and some other players, we've had meetings, and it's what makes teams do bad after success. And we dive into it. We looked at the dynasties. We looked at the Patriots. We looked at Alabama football. We looked at Duke basketball. Teams that have been able to repeat success over a course of many years. And one thing that they prevent is they prevent complacency. Nobody's ever walking around like the job's already done. And so that's something that we're really emphasizing this year, is working like you're number two, but carrying yourself like number one. And so that's what I think is going to be a big thing for us. Honoring the process, holding the standard, something that I know a lot of fans at LSU have been around for a long time, is the standard of baseball at LSU, dating back to the years where Coach Burtman was here. It's a different level. It really is. Like, we don't call ourselves the powerhouse of college baseball for no reason. So honoring that standard, which is just the work that you put in every day, the way you go about your business, the way you do stuff. And our last thing that we focused on was being all in on now. And what that means is just whatever every guy has to do to be the absolute best that they can be at whatever their task is that day, it's completely sold out to doing that. There's not worrying about the past, not worrying about the future. It's just completely present, super focused. And like I said, all in on now is the motto for this 2026 team.
Jake, Glenn asked you earlier about the home runs and if you thought they were going to be up this year. But I'm actually more curious about, you had some clutch hits all season last year. How do you do that? What goes into the preparation to be able to deliver clutch hits like that so timely? I mean, what's going on? I know it's not just walking up to the plate and lucking into a hit. There's some preparation that goes into that.
Yeah, for sure. Like, it's kind of like what I was just talking about, where it's just being completely focused on being present. A lot of people let the moment get too big, and some people will try to fake it to where they almost feel like they don't feel the pressure at all, which I don't think is a real thing. You're going to feel pressure no matter what. It's just learning how to slow yourself down and just focus on the ball and focus on going up there and not trying to do too much. At the end of the day, you don't have to hit a home run every swing. Like, if you just go up there and do your job and get the stick to the next person, it makes it a lot easier. And we were so talented last year, and we were so close, that I had the clarity that even if I failed, the guy behind me was getting the job done. So it took a lot of the pressure off my shoulder right there.
How much of it is actually seeing the ball or knowing what to expect from that pitcher in that moment?
Oh, a lot of it. And we do, like I said, we have a good, really good staff. So we have guys like Jamie Tutko who will do reports on the pitcher and what they expect to throw and what count to certain hitters. And so just knowing that information makes it a lot easier to go up there and compete.
Jake, we appreciate your time tonight, man. Good stuff. Great insight, as always. Good luck this season, and it should be a lot of fun. Thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you guys for having me. Go Tigers.
All right, Jake Brown, LSU right fielder. Hopefully he's the right fielder every game. That was the big debate last year, but who knows?
I don't think there's too many debates this year.
It was a big debate by you, Jeffrey.
I was on the Jake Brown Play Him Every Game fan club, that's for sure. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, got a lot to get to. We'll give you our thoughts on the national championship game on Monday night, the transfer portal, what's the latest with that. So let's dig into all that stuff. You're listening to Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. My brother and I grow rice, soybeans, and raise crawfish on our farm in Evangeline Parish. For a fourth-generation farmer like myself, Louisiana Farm Bureau is as much a part of my life as checking traps or harvesting rice. Our organization is more than 145,000 members strong, and we've been around for more than 100 years. The Louisiana Farm Bureau spans generations, and we want you to join our family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Tiger Rag Radio is back on the air, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo, along with the executive editor for Tiger Rag Magazine and the editor, Glenn Gilbo. And last night's national championship game, Indiana completes the 16-0 season, 27-21, the victory over Miami. Your guys' take on the Indiana Hoosiers coming out of nowhere over the last 2 years and winning a national championship.
I think it's awesome. I mean, I really do. I just think it's awesome because they were really bad in football for a long time.
They had the worst record in Power Four football.
Yeah.
As far as losses, the most losses.
But just, and they don't have like five stars. They haven't really dipped into the portal.
But you know what?
And neither did Georgia when they won their back-to-backs, but they had five stars. They got veterans.
That's the thing, man.
Yeah, they got so veterans, they coach them up, and they got a great quarterback, great coach. I mean, it was really cool to see in this era of the portal and the constant free agency. You know, it's such an outlier team for them to win it, and it's refreshing as hell, I think.
See, and I was sitting there rooting hard for Miami the whole time.
Because they're an SEC team?
No, they're not an SEC.
But the SEC is – I've heard some SEC fans saying, well, they're like an SEC
team. Because they're in the South?
Well, yeah. That and I think the SEC is getting a little tired of seeing the Big Ten win now the last three national championships.
Yeah, I can understand that. But the reason I was going for them is because I don't want to see all these new teams like Indiana work their way into the national championship.
Well, that's what so did they wake up in Kentucky today or in Mississippi State or Arkansas and say, you know what, we can win a national championship too?
The one I keep thinking about is not Kentucky or Arkansas. Would
Missouri.
You say Arkansas or Arizona? I keep thinking about Vanderbilt, and it makes me sick to my stomach to think that Vanderbilt could – I mean, Vanderbilt.
What's wrong with Vanderbilt being good?
I just don't like that. I just don't.
You don't like new blood?
I want the traditional.
Your status quo?
I want the traditional college football teams.
How old are you?
I'm old. I want the traditional college football teams.
Oh, you want Army? Army?
No.
So did you like it when it was just Clemson, Georgia,
Alabama,
and then you – whatever your fourth team might be,
like,
Oklahoma or
like
maybe
Ohio State, LSU, Alabama.
I like Clemson. New blood.
And I don't want to go to this 24-team playoff.
No, me either.
And I don't even want to go to 16.
12 is enough.
I want to go to 12, and I want to drop the group of five because I think they suck, and I don't think they should be in it.
16 would make sense because you'd get rid of the bye, but you need to eliminate a regular season game. Push it up in the calendar. Because, you know, I heard a couple of people, and I've felt this too, that there's a lot of brand weariness going into that game last night. People are more interested in the NFL
of year. Next year, the national championship game's on January 24th.
Yeah, that's messing up. They're messing up a good thing, man.
And you looked at the ratings for the semifinals, I think America just checks out after New Year's Day.
Yeah, exactly. They need to schedule it where everything ends in college football by January 1st or soon thereafter.
Yeah, the weekend after the 1st or something like that.
And they can't really start that much earlier. So I really think they really ought to get rid of the championship games, the league championship games, because those are ridiculous. But they won't because it makes too much money. But they ought to at least – go back to just 11 regular season games. Mm.
Yeah,
that would fix
so
things.
So still
up.
9 conference games and then 11 regular season games.
Because you've got all the rent-a-win games anyway. You don't need those.
They just should start like August 15th.
When Verge Osberry says we need 7 home games in order for this to make it work, that means you got to do 7 and 4?
Well, they're not doing that, so don't even worry about it. Just because he said it.
They used to just play 11. Used to only play 11. They used to only play 10.
I think we're coming to the point where they're going to start the week or the season a week early.
Yeah, I think they're going to start August. Yeah, in August.
You're going to have people passing out.
They already start week zero games starting August right now, so they're just going to move it up. They're going to move it up. And anyway, let's go back to the game last night.
Hold on, Andre. We got 2 more minutes left.
Indiana would not have won that game if they would not have blocked the punt and Indiana, I mean, and Miami's great field goal kicker all year. What happened to him in the playoffs? I mean, he didn't miss a field goal during the regular season.
Well, speaking
and then he started doinking them all playoffs.
Yeah. Hit one off the
upright
field goal upright.
Yeah. Indiana did not have a single turnover in the postseason.
Yeah, that's crazy, right?
That is unbelievable.
But it's, you know, we kind of danced around it earlier. They had so many of their 22 players, 22 starters. They had like 3 6-year, 6th-year players, 3 5th-year players, like 9 seniors.
Well, see, that's
impressive, man.
And so when people look at LSU that they can compete next year, a lot of Lane's guys are just 1 or 2 years out of high school. And I'm not saying that's the wrong, because I like that, because he's actually getting guys that are going to be around potentially for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I think that's the other huge obstacle or huge challenge here for Lane next season to compete, because he's got a relatively young roster.
I think what Lane Kiffin and his staff have done is a master stroke in building a roster. I think they filled in key positions with top-notch players where they needed to, not the least of which is quarterback across the board. That quarterback room is better than it's been in years.
Yeah,
I agree.
And but they also backfilled it with players that are going to continue to come back.
Players that are like these redshirt freshmen that they're getting.
Right.
That's like better than a high school senior.
Yeah.
That, you know, but it's the same thing. They'll be there a while.
All right, let's hit a break. Malachi Thomas will join us when we come back here on Tiger Rag Radio.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with 5 available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious. With multiple engine options and impressive towing, while Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability.
Nice.
Making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your super Chevy dealers today.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. While I'm a fourth generation rice and soybean grower, you don't have to be a farmer to be a Louisiana Farm Bureau member. Membership has its benefits, from discounts on car seats, hotel rooms, and rental cars, to access to insurance you can count on to be there when you need, plus a whole lot more. We're 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio, we're back to Tiger Rag Radio.
Jeff Palermo, along with the executive editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, that is Todd Horn, the editor, Glenn Gilbo, and Andre Champagne with us as well as our producer. Did I get that right?
You said my name.
You didn't say his name coming in last time.
Oh, did I?
Todd got very upset.
Oh, sorry. Everybody knows who you are.
Well, I just like to hear my name.
Yeah, I know.
Todd Horn.
Todd
Horn.
Yeah, it kind of comes off. A pretty cool name is Malachi Thomas. I'll give you that. And he joins us now here on Tiger Rag Radio. He is one of the many new additions to the LSU football team through the transfer portal, a tight end who was at Pitt. Malachi, thanks a lot for joining us on Tiger Rag Radio. Excuse our silliness. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How y'all doing?
Oh, we're doing well. We're doing well. So did you have could you have ever imagined in your life that you'd be playing football at LSU? What's this experience been like here, putting your name in the transfer portal, and then how soon did you get a call from Lane Kiffin or somebody with the LSU staff?
Okay, now I did not think I'd be at LSU. It's actually a dream to come true, you know, SEC ball, always South Georgia kid dream. So when I put my name in the transfer portal, as soon as I did it, tight end coach Joe Cox hit me up, wanted to get me down. I was like, let's do it. Obviously, you know, I had a lot of other coaches hit my phone. But, you know, it only took one visit to get me to stay down here.
Yeah, and Malachi, you kind of talked to me about it with Coach Joe Cox. Tell the people how long you actually watched film with him when you first got to the facility, and just talk about your visit and what kind of impressed you.
Okay, so when I first got there, first of all, they got the natty standing up in the lobby. So I was like, damn, first time seeing this Mississippi trophy like that. So they show me through the facility. The facility is like crazy nice. And then we sit there and talk ball for about 2.5 hours, you know. And then we come back and talk for another 2 hours, just showing me about the offensive line, how they can get the ball to the tight end. You know, I'm loving it. I'm loving everything about it. So that's like just a little standpoint from right there.
Malachi, this is Todd. Hey, what about the ball talk that y'all had enamored you or made you excited about playing in a Lane Kiffin, Charlie Weiss Jr. offense?
So I actually just met Charlie, the offensive coordinator, 2 days ago. Cool dude. So when they were showing me it, they showed me how they put the tight end everywhere. Shoot, they even had him at Wildcat in the playoffs. They were showing me some of the Ole Miss tape. I was like, okay, that's cool. They also was like showing me how you get the one-on-one with the wide receiver. And, you know, you got to know how to block first, too. So I was like, okay, cool. I could do that. I could do everything they're telling me I could do. But what really got me the most is how they can get the ball in space. I feel like that's my perfect hit. I'm going to make 5 people miss regardless of the situation.
Yeah, and then I guess, Malachi, can you just talk about you met Lane Kiffin as well. I mean, what does it – how exciting is it to go and play for a coach like Lane Kiffin? And I guess what was your meeting with him like?
My meeting with him was quick, but, like, my interactions with him, I met him twice, so it was the meeting and we played pickleball together. You know, he was just cool on all of it. He didn't really have to say much to get me to commit, though. I already had it stamped. After we got done watching film, I was like, just go ahead and cancel all the other visits. Get me with my meeting with Lane. Let's sign the contract.
Well, you know now, Malachi, Lane used to be a quarterback at Fresno State. Is he pretty good at pickleball? Could you handle him?
Oh, yeah.
You dominated him or what?
No, he definitely beat me.
Oh, okay.
Like he was beating everybody down there. He was the Texas Tech commit quarterback. It was him going against Lane. And, you know, Lane came out with the dub.
That's why he makes y'all play pickleball so he can beat y'all.
Yeah, him and his son was dominating us.
Was he playing with Cookie too? Was that the secret weapon? Because everybody's been saying Cookie is the secret weapon here.
Dude, I don't know, but they was whooping everybody. I had my little ups and downs, but I think I held my own. He told me I did a pretty good job.
Malachi, had you ever been to Baton Rouge before your visit, and just what's your impressions of the city and the campus?
All right. I love the city. I love the food. I love the campus. It was my first time coming to Louisiana ever when I got in Baton Rouge. And I've been eating ever since. I'm probably like 250 now. I'm not going to lie.
That the heat down here will sweat that out, man. Did you go to Phil's Oyster Bar? And what'd you have?
That's what I think. I had a steak when I came down here. I had some steak and some crawfish.
They sent you all to Stabs, was it?
I don't know the place called, but they had some chimichurri on the side with the steak, some good sauce. I was like, dog.
Well, Malachi, when you first decided to, you know, to leave Pittsburgh or to get in the transfer portal, what was your motivation there? If you didn't, you know, if you weren't dead set at that time on coming to LSU, just what were you looking for?
What was I looking for? Entering the portal?
Yeah.
I just lost my tight end coach is what made me enter the portal. So I was really just looking for a good tight end coach. And when I talked to Joe Cox, he basically like a brother man. So I was like, okay, yeah, I like him. He cool. He chill. He know what he talking about. Yeah, we ain't got to talk to nobody else.
And Malachi, have you got to meet Sam Leavitt and the other two quarterbacks, and just what do you think of the quarterback room at this point?
I talked to Sam. Sam is the only quarterback I've been around. I talked to Sam today, yesterday. Sam, cool. I talked to Winnie. Talked to Jace. I don't talk to all the transfers. Well, only one transfer quarterback, though.
Okay. How good do you think this team can be next season?
I think we national championship bound.
All right.
It's got to be hard to contain your enthusiasm and your excitement, but I mean that's a long way to go. It, you can have all the talent in the world, and still things have to go right. Right.
That's true. Injuries can play a big part in it.
Yeah, and Malachi, I guess, just kind of adding off of that, like your trip to Baton Rouge made you actually cancel the rest of your visits. Just talk about, you know, why you decided to do that, I guess, just
what,
as we wrap
and
up.
And what other visits did you have planned?
Yeah.
I was going to go to Florida. I had Ole Miss set up. I had Florida, Ole Miss. And I was talking to Illinois and Minnesota about a visit, but, you know, I just blocked them after that last one. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, and just talk about what is it about LSU that you know, Coach Lane has just been saying? What is it that makes it different?
Okay, the what is it called? So they got, like, good technology here, and they have the most resources. Like, compared to Pitt and LSU, no disrespect to Pitt, they made me become the player I am today, but they don't have a lot of resources. LSU has this cool vision goggle set where you can put the whole playbook in. And, like, I feel like from that perspective, you can put different coverages in, and, like, they help you play instantly better.
What do you think of playing with Tre'Davious Green? How fun will that be?
Oh, yeah, that's going to be – ooh, that's going to be tough. we both, I mean, I know he could catch the ball and route people up, and I could do the same. So having somebody both 6'3", 6'7", it's going to be unstoppable, to be honest with you.
So you're going to be telling Lane, hey, man, 12 personnel all day, man. 12 personnel, right?
Oh, yeah. We don't get to run none else.
I like it, man. All right, Malachi, I love your enthusiasm. Good luck, man.
Your voice got high right there, buddy. Good luck, man.
Yeah, just a little bit.
All right, Malachi Thomas and an enthusiastic LSU Tiger, that's for sure. We'll be back after this here on Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Now, back to Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Good stuff there from Malachi Thomas, one of the nearly 40 players that will be joining the LSU football program through the transfer portal. And this transfer portal craziness about to come to an end, but we're still waiting on a couple of big names that could potentially still sign with LSU here. The complete, according to 24/7 Sports, the top transfer class in the country.
So the obviously the number four player in the portal is the number one remaining player, and that's
Jordan Seaton,
and supposedly
offensive tackle from Colorado.
Supposedly he scored like an 80.4 all season by Pro Football Focus, which compare that to like Will Campbell, who had an 80.6. Mm. So you're looking at a definitely a quality person, quality tackle there. Now, the interesting thing is that he canceled his visit to Oregon,
mm-hmm.
but he was supposed to sign by today, was my understanding,
yeah.
in order to be able to be eligible for spring practice. You're telling me you heard they may be able to extend that a couple days.
Well, I read something that I didn't know was official.
Okay.
So I asked you before the show if you knew.
Yeah, and I had heard none of that.
Okay.
And
it could have been completely wrong. So I'm not.
Well, and I don't want to discredit it wholly because I didn't hear about it. But I will say that I heard that they finalized the agreement, except for some language in the contract.
Well, they need to get Malachi to talk to him to seal the deal.
What do you got, Andre?
Well, just kind of going off of that, I don't know about enrollment, but LSU's website on their academic calendar states that the final date for adding courses for credit and making those changes is January 22nd.
See, that's what I read.
So he's got a couple of days for that.
So I'm sure that enrollment probably could have been a little bit delayed, but he definitely has to be scheduled for classes by then.
And this would only to be to participate in spring football.
Right.
Like if he signed on January 30th, he'll play for LSU. He'll just have to miss spring football.
Yeah, which is not a good thing. Even though Glenn thinks spring football doesn't matter, it actually does, especially when you've rebuilt your entire roster.
Yeah, it is important for a new coach, for sure. And I know it's important. It's just I just don't think it's as newsworthy as
some people think
it is. Yeah, this will be. A new coach is always important, and this is doubly so because he's bringing in a brand-new team. But Seton would be a great pillar to have there right next to Sam Levitt you know, another great addition. But, I mean, 40 guys, you know, they're at 38 right now. That's just amazing.
You add the 15, 16, 17, 18 they're bringing in out of high school.
What do you think about what Kiffin said today at that breakfast meeting, that this was going to be the best portal class ever, all time, college football history?
Well, the transfer portal has only been around for a few years.
So what?
Right. And he had the number one class and didn't have a great season. But the most he ever signed before this year, I think, was like 30 or 32. So he's over even his record.
I know y'all are going to jump on me when I say this, but the difference that Lane Kiffin has made in the 60 days he's been at this program is just like night and day compared to the energy that Brian Kelly brought to this program.
To me, it's authentic energy.
Authentic. I agree. It's genuine. It's authentic. It's real. And players can relate to it. And they actually get to talk to the man.
Mm-hmm. You know? And they play pickleball with the guy.
And they play pickleball with him. And I swear he plays pickleball with him, like I said, to Malachi, so that he can beat him up and have something over him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you were talking about how Kiffin spoke today, which this was really I know he spoke at the Texas Bowl when he did the segment with the TV broadcasters and Chris Blair, but this was like the first time he has actually spoke in front of a group of people.
Except for his introductory press conference.
Today.
Right.
And today he provided a little bit more detail on what Nick Saban told him. Nick Saban basically told him, he told the crowd today, and this was at the Baton Rouge
Power
Luncheon by Baton Rouge, why can't I think of it right now?
Baton Rouge Business Report.
Thank you. Baton Rouge Business Report, Power Breakfast, and the leaders of Power Breakfast, something to that extent. But he said, this is Lane, and we got some snippets here. Lane talked about he was torn about whether to leave Ole Miss or not for LSU, but Nick Saban told him that you would always regret not taking the LSU job because it's the best job in America. And here's what Lane had to say just right after that. This would be cut 17, Andre.
When he said that, that really made the decision for me. And as I've looked at it, it has pushed me. It has got me out of a comfort zone that we were doing amazing things, but you come here and you feel the power of the place, and it drives you every day to even go to another level.
Wow.
Yeah, and then this was another. Let's go ahead and play cut 18 here, Andre.
We've got guys that normally in a situation would say, you know, you guys are already loaded at that position. I'm not coming there. And when they come, they say, actually, these other places, sometimes they're offering more money. It's a better depth chart to go into. But those are the guys that are choosing to say, I don't care. I want to be part of this special thing.
I know we'll never get to see it, but I would love to see, like, you know, sometimes you can in Major League Baseball and really in the NFL, you can see what everybody makes. I would love to see what everybody is supposed to make. Like, which guys came here basically on a hope and a prayer, and they just like the place.
Keep wishing for that, because we're trying to get our hands on them.
I don't think you're going to get it, but that would be amazing.
And you know, he also signed a lot of guys that are younger and from smaller schools that he probably got at a bargain.
Yes.
You know, and that's the future, and then they'll pay more based on how they play, which makes sense.
Right. All right, let's take another break. Final segment of this hour number one. You're listening to Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with 5 available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious. With multiple engine options and impressive towing, while Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability.
Nice.
Making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your Super Chevy dealers today.
How you doing? This is Snoop Dogg.
Tiger Rag. Tiger Rag Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you are tuned in.
Talk LSU sports, interviews, opinions, and your calls around the Tiger Nation.
Baton Rouge was a light for me. Home of the LSU Tigers.
Now more Tiger Rag Radio.
Hey, we love to score and get highlights and championships and play to win.
Tiger Rag Radio.
All right, back here on Tiger Rag Radio. Again, Lane Kiffin spoke today at the Baton Rouge Business Report's Power Breakfast. And we'll play the soundbite once again. You know, LSU's got close to 40 players that they've been able to get out of the transfer portal. You know, you got three quarterbacks. He's gotten four running backs, six receivers, seven offensive linemen at least. I'm saying this at least, and maybe even more than that. But not all these guys are going to play. So Kiffin talked about it today about how, hey, some guys just kind of – they just want to be a part of it. And we'll go ahead and play that soundbite once again.
We've got guys that normally in a situation would say, you know, you guys are already loaded at that position. I'm not coming there. And when they come, they say, actually, these other places – sometimes they're offering more money. It's a better depth chart to go into. But those are the guys that are choosing to say, I don't care. I want to be part of this special thing.
Yeah, nine receivers are on this. They've been able to get out of the transfer portal. I mean,
that's crazy.
Half of those guys are not going to play, however you want to split it, either five or four.
They're not going to play this season, but they might play the next season.
Andre, you've spoken to a lot of these players that are in the transfer or have been signed out of the transfer portal, and you got similar stories to back what Lane had to say, back up what Lane had to say today.
Yeah, I mean, they all talk about how they could have gone somewhere else, made, you know, more money, which is pretty crazy how transparent they were being, just because, you know, they do want to be part of this, and they see how hard that Lane works in his off time, but they also want to be part of this offense. You know, everyone I've talked to is so excited about just being in an offense to where he really does just use everyone. You know, Lane Kiffin has used about six to eight receivers this year at Ole Miss, and it's not like any of them really had overpowering stats over the other. They're all pretty balanced.
And they're going to be playing two tight ends all the time, according to Malachi. So those guys aren't going to play.
Well, Malachi was telling me how he was like, I hope they line me up at quarterback, running back, you know, tight end, wide receiver. I was like, okay. I was like, he might do it. You know, he might do it.
Well, it's going to be fascinating next year to see how this all comes together.
And yeah. Another part of that is, not to cut you off, Todd, just a lot of receivers go down pretty quick. I mean, you kind of saw that this year. LSU seemed to have played with wide receivers that were banged up all year.
They did. And I think, you know, going back to what Lane was talking about today, he only gave like a – I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but he gave like a 13.5-minute speech, and I thought the funniest thing about it was him saying, I had no idea what I was supposed to talk about. I didn't have a speech prepared. You know, seriously, he said, Verge told me all about it, but I was with three recruits, so I wasn't paying attention to what he said.
Right,
you
know? And he got all three recruits.
Three recruits, and they went nuts. But the, you know, he talked about the critical point now is getting all this talent in the building, getting them working out, teaching them how to be team members.
Yeah.
And it sounds like coach speak until you really start to think about it and how successful he has been at molding those inflows, if you will, into a team. He's done that very well. And he's also talked about the physicality of this team, which has been severely lacking for the last 3 or 4 years.
For our listeners listening on Talk 107.3 in Baton Rouge, hop over to TigerRag.com to continue listening to the show. You got Kim Mulkey coming up. Also, you can always catch us anywhere you get your podcast, and also available on YouTube as well. The shows are, in case you missed some of our first hour. Coming up next, Grayson Ware from BroBible.com. He knows Lane Kiffin very well. We'll get his thoughts on Lane and much more as we continue with Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.